Welcome back to the Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. Today we're studying Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. Our series is in conjunction with the OU Nachyomi Project and sponsored with the help of the Cyprus Foundation. Perek Yud Aleph begins a new topic. We'll take a quick look at the header, Pasuk Aleph, Hadavar Asher Hayel Yirmiyahu Meit Adonai Lemor. God instructs Yirmiyahu to say the following to the people. Shimu Divrei HaBrit Hazot V'dibartem El Ish Yehuda V'Yoshvei Yerushalayim. Listen to the words of this covenant and speak it to the people of Yehudah and to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. V'yamarta lehem, tell them as follows. Kol ma'adonai Elohei Yisrael, this is the word of God, the God of Israel. Arur ha'ish, cursed is the man, asher lo yishma et divrei ha'brit hazot. The person who will not obey this covenant, he should be cursed. Which covenant? Asher tzivit et avotechem, the covenant that I commanded your forefathers, b'yom hotzi'i otam me'eretz Mitzrayim, on the day that I took them out of Egypt, mikor ha'barzel, from the smelting furnace. Remember in Perek Dalet in Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu also refers to Egypt as a melting furnace that refined the Jewish people, just like a hot furnace refines metal and gets rid of all of its impurities. So too, our experience in Egypt was one which we were supposed to learn from and develop from and become strong from. So again, B'yom Hotzi Otam Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mikor Barzel Lemor, Shimu B'koli, obey me, Vasitem Otam, and keep my laws, K'chol Asher Tzaveh Etchem, everything that I command you. And then, the famous phrase of the primary covenant between God and His people, V'yitem li la'am, you'll be my people, V'onochi, ayyeh lachem l'Elohim, and I will be your God. One last line, and then we'll try to understand what's going on in this covenant. L'man hakim et ha'shvuah, in order to establish and fulfill the covenant and the oath, asher nishbati l'avotechem, that I swore with your forefathers, latet lem eretz zabat chalav u'dvash b'yom hazeh, the covenant that I made with your forefathers in order that I can give them this land flowing of milk and honey, referring here to the land of Israel. V'an v'amar amen Adonai. Yirmiyahu answers and says, I agree, God, and he'll do it. In these opening psukim, God's instructing Yirmiyahu to declare in front of the people about their need to follow a covenant. And the covenant obviously seems to be referring to the covenant that Am Yisrael makes with God at Har Sinai. Of course, that covenant is an everlasting one. It applies to all generations. So why is Yirmiyahu talking about that now? What's going on? To appreciate what's going to happen in this parak, we have to go back once again to the book of Divrei Yamim and discuss the story that takes place in the 18th year of the king Yoshiel. Recall that Yirmiyahu began his prophecies in the 13th year of Yoshiel, as Yoshiel is beginning his reform movement. And we saw those early 6 years, from year 13 of Yoshiel to year 18 of Yoshiel, that during those years, there was a very strong movement to eradicate all idol worship, cleansing the country from all these different gods and all these other types of worship, and instead, returning to the God of Israel. In the 18th year, in the middle of this reform, they're renovating the temple, they're renovating the Beit HaMikdash, and in the middle of that renovation project, surprisingly, they find what's called the Sefer Torah, which seems to have been the original Sefer Torah from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not going to read that entire story, but I do suggest that you read it, both in the book of Malachim, and especially in Divrei Yamim, in 2 Chronicles, chapters 34 and 35, we'll give you the complete story, Parakim Lamed Aleph and Lamed Hei. We're going to focus on one part of this story, which has to do with the covenant with the Brit. But in that story, as they're renovating the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol finds Sefer Torah Moshe. My understanding is that they knew the Torah all along. It simply doesn't make sense that the Torah had been forgotten. Why would they be doing tshuva for the last 6 years if they didn't have the Torah? But rather, what was lost was the original Sefer Torah that was usually kept in the Kodesh Kodeshim next to the Aron. Recall that earlier, during the reign of Menashe, and also during the reign of Amon, the kings were very angry with God. They closed down the temple. Even earlier in the time of Ahaz, it was very similar behavior. And it could be in the anger of those kings with God, and when they closed down the Beit HaMikdash, and most likely the Kohanim, who were more dedicated, were in fear of what would happen to these important objects like the original Sefer Torah, and they probably put it into hiding. And in the renovation project, it seems that they found the original, and when they found it, it was a very exciting event, and they made a very big deal about it. When that did happen, they bring the Sefer Torah to the king is amazed, they go to Chulda HaNeviah, and she warns them that the tshuva is not sufficient, they have to do better tshuva. She almost tells them it's a lost cause, but most likely she's saying that in order to inspire them to do proper tshuva. And in light of that, Yoshiel gathers the people together. He's not willing to accept this decree that all is lost. He's set on getting the people to do proper tshuva, and he gathers the people for a national ceremony to reestablish a covenant between Am Yisrael and God. We read about this in Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 34 in Chronicles 2, Pasuk Chaftet, verse 29. Vayishlach HaMelech, the king sent, Vayasof et kol ziknei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. He gathers together all the elders of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Vayal HaMelech Beit Adonai, the king goes up to the Beit HaMikdash. V'chol ish Yehuda v'yoshvei Yerushalayim v'kohanim v'levim v'chol ha'am migadol v'ad katan. All the people of Yerushalayim, the kohanim, the levim, the people, the young and the old, a national gathering, very similar to Hakel. Vayikrambos nehem et kol divrei sefer habrit hanimtza Beit Adonai. He read in front of them all the words of this book of the covenant that was found in God's house. That's why most commentators understand that the book that they found was Sefer Dvarim, because Sefer Dvarim talks about reestablishing the covenant with the generation that's about to go in the land after 40 years. Not just the Tochacha, but the entire concept of Brit Sinai, which is the focus of chapter 5 through 26 in Sefer Dvarim. Pay careful attention to Pasuk Lamed Aleph, to verse 31. Vayamor HaMelech Alamdo, the king stood on a podium in front of everyone. Vayichrot et habrit lifnei Adonai. He established a covenant between the people and God. Lelechet achrei Adonai, to follow God. Lishmor mitzvotav vedotav v'chukav v'chol levavo v'chol nafsho. Lasot et divrei habrit haktuvim al hasefer hazeh. In essence, what is Yoshiyahu doing? He's reestablishing the covenant between God and his people, that the people will now keep all of God's mitzvot, edot, and chukim. Anyone familiar with Sefer Dvarim, especially chapters 4, 5, and 6, sees exactly the key phrases from Moshe Rabbeinu's main speech, Num HaMitzvot, his speech of Mitzvot in Sefer Dvarim, where he talks about how God made a covenant with them at Har Sinai, first gave them the Ten Commandments face to face, and then afterwards commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to be the middleman to instruct them the rest of the laws of the Torah, which Moshe has to teach over and over again, and hence the concept of Mishneh Torah. Pasuk Lamed Beter, Vayamed et kol hanimtza b'Yerushalayim uvinyamin, Vayasvu yoshvei Yerushalayim kibrit Elohim Elohei Avotem. Everyone stood up, and they established this covenant between God and the people of Yerushalayim and Yehuda. And then, Vayasar Yoshio et kol ha-toivot mikol ha-tzot asher livnei Yisrael. Yoshio gets rid of all the abominations, all the idol worship from all the different lands that Bnei Yisrael had brought in, and he moves them over to get them to serve God himself. Ko yamav lo saru me'achrei Adonai Elohei Avotehem. During the entire time period of Yoshiel, they didn't leave God. From year 18 to 31 of Yoshiel seems to be very good. And then in the next line, which is the beginning of chapter 35, Vayas Yoshiel b'Yerushalayim Pesach Adonai, Vayishchatu ha-Pesach b'arbasa l'chodesh ha-rishon, and he goes on and on. In order to reestablish his covenant, Yoshiel takes this opportunity and makes one very big national Passover celebration. They make a big Korban Pesach that everyone participates in. Yoshiel is hoping that this will be the turnaround point that will undo the decree from the time of Menashe, the decree of destruction, and this will begin redemption. If you look towards the end of the parak, there's another amazing statement in Pasuk Yudchet, in verse 18. Again, Parak Lamed Hei, Pasuk Yudchet. Lo nasa Pesach kamo b'Yisrael mimei Shmuel ha-Navi. There was never a Pesach like this. There was never a national Passover celebration in Israel since the time of the Navi Shmuel, the Chom Achei Yisrael. During the entire reign of all the kings, since the time of Shmuel, lo asu chapesach asher asel Yoshiel. There was never a time when they made a celebration like this one, like they made in the time of Yoshiel. Va'kohanim va'levim v'chol Yehuda v'Yisrael hanimtza v'yoshvei Yerushalayim. Where all the Kohanim, all the priests and the Levites, and all the people of Yehuda and Yisrael got together with sincerity, re-establishing the covenant between God and his people. The event in the time of Shmuel, most likely, is Perek Zayin in Shmuel Aleph, where Shmuel gathers the people in Mitzpah, and gets them to do proper tshuva. If you look at the first 70 psukim in Shmuel Aleph Perek Zayin, you can see a very similar situation where the leader inspires the people to do proper tshuva. This background in Divrei Hayamim is critical for understanding what happens in the book of Yirmiyahu. Recall Yirmiyahu is talking about destruction, he's talking about idol worship, he's talking about people whose behavior is disgusting, he's talking about abominations. And here we see in Divrei Hayamim, from a religious point of view, things have never been better. That's the dilemma that Yirmiyahu is facing. There's a tremendous return to serving God, to bringing Karbonot, to building the Beit HaMikdash. What seems to be lacking, even though there's a king who's sincere, and even though there's a national and official movement to return to God, it seems that this movement is very national, but not very sincere. And more so, the return to the ritual is not having a strong enough effect on their ethical behavior. And that's why Yirmiyahu is going to tell them over and over again that your behavior is still not enough. The decree of destruction will still have to come, because you don't seem to get the message that God's trying to give you. The reason why Yirmiyahu is not understood by the people, they don't accept him, because the people think that they're doing fine. Now with that background, let's return to Yirmiyahu, Perek Yud Aleph. This description of a covenant between God and the people, and cursing those who don't accept the covenant that we read about in the first five psukim of chapter 11, most likely are relating to this covenant that was made in the time of Yoshio. In other words, the people have returned to God in an official covenant. Now Yirmiyahu is going to talk about how the people betray that covenant. They say that they're returning to God, but in essence they haven't. And that will explain the reason why God's going to become angry again. Let's return now to chapter 11, to Pasuk Vav, to verse 6. Vayomer Adonai Elai, God told me as follows. Krat kol advarim ha'eleh barei Yehuda v'chutzot Yerushalayim. Call out these words, the words about this covenant and the need to accept it, to the cities of Yehuda and the outskirts of Yerushalayim, saying, Shimu divrei ha'brit hazot, listen to the words of this covenant, v'asitem otam, and obey them and do them. Why? Pasuk Zayin. Ki ha'eid ha'idoti v'avotechem, I warned your forefathers, b'yom ha'aloti otam eretz Mitzrayim, ad hayom hazeh, from the time you went out of Egypt and I made this covenant the first time, for the last several hundred years, to this very day, hashkem v'ha'eid lemor, over and over again, I've repeated this warning, shimu b'koli. If you remember from Mount Sinai, from Perek Yutet and Sefer Shemot, the opening lines of the covenant between God and His people is, im shemot yishmu b'koli, u'shmartem et briti, v'item niskula mikol amim, ki li kol ha'aretz. Shimu b'koli is an opening word that begins the covenantal connection between God and His people. V'lo shemu v'lo itu et oznam. They didn't obey, and they didn't turn their ears to listen. Instead, v'yachu ish b'shrut libam hara, instead, everyone went on their own ways, v'avi alehem et divrei ha'brit hazot, and therefore I brought upon them the negative side of the covenant. The covenant remains, but part of the covenant is, if you don't follow my laws, I'll have to punish you. Asher tziviti lasot v'lo asu. You didn't follow the words of this covenant that I commanded you to do, and you didn't do it, therefore, that's why the punishment is coming. And now Yirmiyahu has to explain why. Pasuk Tet. When we saw in Divrei Hayamim, it looked like the people kept the covenant. Listen what Yirmiyahu explains now, what went wrong. Verse 9. V'yomer Adonai Elai, God told me as follows. Nimtza kesher b'ish Yehuda uv'yoshvei Yerushalayim. We have found a conspiracy among the men of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. What's a conspiracy? What did they do wrong? What's this kesher? Shavu al avonot avotam harishonim. The returning to the sins that the forefathers had done. Asher mi'anu nishmo advarai. Just like the forefathers who didn't want to listen to my words. V'hem achu, instead, what did they follow? Achrei Elohim acherim lovdam. They followed other gods to serve them instead. Hefiru beit Yisrael beit Yehuda et briti asher karati et avotam. Again, the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda has broken this covenant that I made with their forefathers. Because they've broken the covenant, because they're following other gods. What does it mean following other gods? We have to see over and over again in Yirmiyahu the same problem. The people claim they've returned to God, and Yirmiyahu claims they're following other gods. What does Yirmiyahu define as idol worship? We'll continue to see as we read the next several chapters. Lachain, kama Adonai, because of their behavior, God's saying, hineni mevi alehem ra'ah, I'm going to bring a terrible punishment upon them. Asher lo yuchlu letzet mimena, they won't be able to get out of it. V'zalku elai, they're going to cry to me, v'lo ashma alehem, and I won't listen to them. We see this amazing situation, and we'll see it again later on in the parak, that the people are praying to God, they're davening to God to stop the advance of Bavel, to prevent the destruction of Yerushalayim, and God tells the people, I'm not listening to your prayers. We're not talking about people who aren't praying to God, we're talking about people who do pray to God, and do come to the Beit HaMikdash. Nonetheless, Yirmiyahu is telling them God is closing his ears. What are they doing wrong? Pasuk Yudbet. V'chu arei Yehuda v'yoshvei Yerushalayim, v'zaku el alim asher hima makterim lehem, v'oshea lo yeshu lehem beit rahatam. Instead, because these same people that are now crying to God beforehand, they went to all these other gods and called out to them, the Navi is saying, call out to them, they won't be able to help you when you do bad. K'mispar arecha yu alecha Yehuda. Like the numbers of your cities, so too were the numbers of your gods that you worshipped Yehuda. Mispar chutzot Yerushalayim, just like there's so many different courtyards around Yerushalayim, samtem mizbechot leboshet, you put these altars to all these different idols to your shame. Boshet is a play on words. Busha means shame. And he calls these idols, or these places of worship, mizbechot lekater lebaal, altars to bring incense to the Baal God. As we mentioned earlier, it seems like Yirmiyahu is exaggerating, as far as the people are concerned, calling their worship of God avodat Baal. It could be possibly that the people were simply torn between two different gods. Sometimes they believe in the Baal God, sometimes they believe in the God of Israel. The suggestion that we were making is avodat Baal is a type of worship where the person is interested in what's in it for them and not what's in it for God. when you serve Baal, you want rain, and therefore you do whatever ritual Baal asks you to do. But Baal doesn't demand good behavior. On the other hand, God is telling you, behave properly, represent me as a nation, and I'll bring you the rain at the right time. Yirmiyahu is so angry at their behavior. It could be that he's telling the people, even though you're coming and worshiping God, because your intention in your worship of God is simply in relation to what's in it for me, they're bringing all these korbanot and doing all the rituals simply so that God will give them the rain and save them from their enemies, it may be that Yirmiyahu is describing that worship of God as avodat Baal. That would explain why the people don't understand what he's saying, the people don't accept what he's saying, and that would also explain why on the one hand they're doing tshuva, but on the other hand, God is so angry because in his eyes they're not doing tshuva. To see this, we have to take a look at the next pasuk, where once again, God tells Yirmiyahu not to pray for the people. If Pasuk Gedalad, verse 14, was not written, you would not believe something like this could be said. God tells Yirmiyahu as follows, Vata, al titpaleh ba'aram hazeh, don't pray for this people. Vatisa ba'adam minahu tefilah, ki eneni shomea beit karam elai. I'm not going to listen at the time when they call out to me, ba'ad ra'atam, because of their evil ways. It's because of their evil behavior, God's not willing to listen to the prayers. In other words, just like korbanot, prayer has the exact same status. If prayer is not accompanied with a change of behavior, ben adam l'chaviro, between man and his fellow man, and it's simply behavior in the realm of ben adam l'makom, Yirmiyahu is saying that does not enable you to turn to God. Therefore, all of Yirmiyahu's rebuke about the people's behavior, how they're treating the poor and the needy, and the society they're creating, the deceit that's among them, all the things we saw in the last several chapters, because of all that behavior, God is saying, no matter how much you turn to me, no matter how many offerings you bring me, no matter how much you pray to me, I'm not willing to listen. And now he talks about how God is disgusted by the people's behavior as they come to the Beit HaMikdash. Meli didi beveti. What is my dear one doing in my house? Asotam zimata harabim. She's plotting so many different things. U'besar kodesh yavru mi'alaych kiratechi az talozi. You're coming to the Beit HaMikdash, you're bringing korbanot, you're eating the korbanot in Basar Kodesh, but all of your bad deeds, when you do them, that's what makes you happy. Zayit Ranan, Yifei Pri Tohar, he compares Am Yisrael to a very strong, beautiful-looking olive tree, Kara Adonai Shmech. You were once a beautiful, strong, wonderful tree giving great fruit. L'koha Mulan Dola, Heitzite Shaleha. But now, with this noise of the enemy coming, you're being burnt down. Ber'u Dalyotav, the Dalyot, or the branches, and of the vine, which carry all the fruit, that's all going to be cut off and destroyed. God who planted you, he warned you and told you that these bad things are coming. Why? Because of the bad behavior of the house of Israel. They did this to make me angry, to offer to the Baal God. So here Yirmiyahu is saying, God's instructing him not to pray because of the bad behavior. Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18, God showed me, and therefore I know, he showed me all the trickery and the way they're planning to do bad actions. In verse 19, Yirmiyahu talks about his situation where all of his colleagues want him dead. People don't like the message that he's delivering, and people are planning to kill him. Pasuk Yotet, Yirmiyahu is saying that he himself is like a fine, choice lamb being brought for slaughter. It's because his colleagues, the other Nevim, don't like what he's saying and they want him killed and they're plotting to kill him. He sees himself as a lamb being brought to slaughter. V'lo yadati ki alai chashu machshavot. I didn't realize that my colleagues, we'll see in a minute, the other Nevim and Anatot, are planning thoughts to kill me. Nashchita eitz v'lachmo v'nichritenu me'eretz chayim u'shmo lo yizacher od. Let's cut him off from the land of the living and let's not mention his name anymore. Yirmiyahu is talking about the other Nevim and Anatot who don't like what he's saying, claiming that he's a false prophet, and they want him dead, and Yirmiyahu is going to pray now that God protect him. B'Adonai Tzvot Shofet Tzedek, he turns to God now, God who judges with righteousness, Bochen Klot V'Lev, he who knows the true feelings of the heart, Erenik Matcha Mehem, Yirmiyahu asks God to allow him to see his vengeance from them, Ki Elecha Yilitet Rivi. Yirmiyahu is saying, I'm turning to you, God, and telling you about my quarrel with him. God answers, L'chein kol mar Adonai. Therefore, God says, Al anshei Anatot, about the men of Anatot. Remember, Yirmiyahu himself is from Anatot. He has a lot of colleagues in Anatot. It's probably one of the cities of the Kohanim in the time. Because they don't like what Yirmiyahu is saying, they want him dead. And therefore, he tells them again, Those who want your soul, those who want you dead, and why do they want you dead? They're saying you should not give prophecy in the name of God, and then we won't kill you. But if you continue to prophesy in the name of God, we will kill you. The colleagues of Yirmiyahu, who Yirmiyahu is calling Nevi Sheker, saying false things in God's name, they're countering and telling Yirmiyahu, if you don't stop that accusation against us, and you don't stop all your harsh prophecies about the city, and all your prophecies of doom, we're going to kill you. You're weakening the people. Lachen kol ma'adonai tzvot. Therefore, God's saying, Hini poked alehem, I'm going to punish them. Habachurim yamutu becherev, the young ones will die by sword. B'neim uvnateim yamutu barav, and the children in their homes will die in famine. It means the older men will die in war, fighting the Babylonians. The young children, living in the city under siege without food, are going to die by famine. Usherit lo te'alehem. Those people, those families who want you dead, who want you killed, who are fighting against you, and not letting the people listen to you, they will have no remnant at all. Ki avi ra'al anshei anatot shnat pekudatam. I'm going to bring a very severe punishment on the men of Anatot in the year when they receive their punishment. This request of Yirmiyahu that God should bring vengeance against them may sound a little strange at first, because why would Yirmiyahu ask God to punish or kill other people? But Yirmiyahu is worried that his primary message to the people is not going to be heard because of his colleagues' message to him. He wants God to punish his colleagues. It's because his colleagues are stopping the regular people on the street from listening to the words of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu still hopes that the people can return to God. But what's stopping the people are the other rabbis who are telling them other messages and arguing with Yirmiyahu. Therefore, Yirmiyahu is saying it's in God's interest that he should bring immediate punishment on those Nevi Sheker, on those false prophets, so that the regular people can understand God's true message that's coming from Yirmiyahu. In the next chapter, Yirmiyahu is going to pray to God and try to understand why is it that the righteous suffer? One of the most famous questions in all Jewish thought, or in all religious thought as well. That will be the beginning of chapter 12, which we'll see in our next year.